Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Your excellent adventure for the week. I'm an adventurous Matt.
I'm a semi-adventurous Dory.
Welcome. Hope your eggs are in order.
Hope your legs are in order. What?
I couldn't. There was no other rhyme.
Hope your...
Kegs.
Kegs.
Guys, let's talk about rhymes. What is that? That legs, kegs... Dregs. It's hard. That's a hard one.
Negs.
Sure.
Pegs.
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
All right.
See you next week, everybody. That was this week's rhyme talk. If you have a rhyme to submit, you can do so at mattanddory@gmail.com or doryandmatt@gmail.com. All right, what's new? Everybody's asking.
What is new? Well, Henry found the trapezoid.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
He's been missing that trapezoid for a year.
Over a year, I think. And every time he sees the shape puzzle, he points to the trapezoid.
Yeah.
And is like, where the fuck is the trapezoid?
Wow.
But it was one of those things where I was like, it's in here somewhere.
Yeah, it'll come up.
Yeah. Like it has not left the house.
So now during the great closet tear up of 2022.
Yes, it has been unearthed.
Wow.
Yeah. So if nothing else, at least we can say that the closet tear up has resulted in the discovery of the trapezoid.
Well, everybody, I hope you had 2022 on your when will they find the trapezoid bingo card.
Yeah.
So Henry's been three for a week. Have you noticed any changes in his behavior?
I mean, I feel like I kind of have.
Oh, yeah?
A little bit. Like, I just feel like he's... I mean, like, the stalling, the bedtime stalling is just, like, getting out of control.
It is next level ridiculous. But last week I was telling everybody how it took me an hour to get him into, I think I might have told everybody, or just you. When were you, you had to go out book night.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Did we talk about it on the Patreon?
I don't remember. Mm. I might have talked about it in real life.
Whoa.
And just assumed it must have been on a podcast because I don't talk. But he somehow got me to not, I mean, I walk, what time did I leave his room?
Like 7:50 or something.
When, the ideal world, it's 7 o'clock. He's in his crib, good nighting.
And then he asked you why he was so tired.
Yes. And he didn't want to read books. He wanted to go right into his crib.
Because he was so tired.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's delaying a lot. He's demanding a lot of different things. I mean, it's really just the delaying. It's all just variations on delaying and trying to get us to turn on Mickey Mouse earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He wants everything delayed except watching Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, that he wants 2 hours early.
Yeah. Like what, I'm like, we can watch a little bit before your nap. What time? 12:30. Because how about 10:10? Well, no, that's not really in the ballpark.
Did he also try to negotiate his nap with you yesterday?
Yeah, 1:30 he wanted to do. Mm. How about you nap at 1:30?
How about not?
And then he's so tired when he goes down. It's like, how long did he nap today? Because I had my own nap when he napped.
He napped about an hour and 15.
I out-napped him.
Yeah, you did.
By a lot.
Well, he calls me. He always, I close, when I put him down, I close the door within 30 seconds. Mama. And I usually go back in and it's usually like, get me a book from the top shelf.
Right.
Or something equally frivolous. Anyway, so I went in and I try to just go in once because otherwise it just becomes a endless thing. So I told him I was going to go rest. And then I was in my office. I could hear him on the monitor screaming.
And I heard him through my noise-canceling headphones. And then, I said, is Henry calling for you? They're like, yeah. I'm like, I hear him through my headphones.
I was like, fine, I'll go in again. Because he did sound almost like frantic.
Yeah.
And then I go in and he's like,
it's the that kills me every time.
Yeah. Henry need a book from the bottom shelf. And I was like,
well, he's pretty much exhausted the top shelf.
Yeah.
There's little, there's nothing left up there.
Yeah. So got him the book and he asked where Dita was. And I was like, he's resting.
I had to. I could. Dory, like, kindly, Dory did a thing yesterday, some sort of clothing thing. I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but you got rid of a lot of Henry's baby clothes. But, you know, you had to get in the car, drive for a while for that, so I had Henry all day by myself. And when I was watching him, he just sort of... He kept like asking the things that children start to ask about when they can have ice cream. It's like, wait, what? When did this happen? And then he had ice cream, but couldn't finish it, so put it in the freezer. And he kept asking about ice cream. It was really a time.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. He wants to go back to the restaurant.
Oh, to have the red pizza?
Yeah. I said, oh, okay, we can probably go back. When do you think we should go back? Tonight?
We'd been looking for something to do on the weekend with him. You know, post-nap. And we talked about making dinner reservations a little while back. And we made one for like a month out. And then when it came, it was like, oh, we can't today. So then we made one another couple weeks out. And then it was finally here. So we walked him to the restaurant, and he ate a pizza. Like, he just really went to town.
He was so into it. He was like, the red pizza is so yummy.
Yeah, and it was just like a margarita with, like, some of the pieces didn't have cheese on them. So he was just eating sauce and bread. Thought it was the best thing he's ever had in his life.
Yeah, literally the best.
But then, like, he got that, like, look in his eye, that tipsy look of, like, I think he's going to vomit. Get him out of here.
He did not vomit.
So then I sent Dory and Henry ahead, and then I waited and paid the check. And then I got home, and he was pantsless watching Mickey Mouse, having a great time. Living his best post-pizza life.
He was. Yeah. But... You know, it was actually fun. I had some stickers in my bag, and that kept him occupied for about 7 minutes.
Yep. And he got to, like, we sat down, and then he asked when we were gonna have the pizza.
Yeah. We're like, well, we have to order it. He hasn't been to many restaurants.
No, he hasn't. It's been a, you know, he's a pandemic kid.
Yeah.
So he's been to like 5 restaurants.
Yeah,
I think
not a ton of restaurants. So but you know, he got to drink water out of a straw from an open cup, and he was just you know, got to eat. Yeah, he was into it. He enjoyed himself.
Yeah, and then he asked me what days I play golf, and that was awkward. Then he asked me not to play golf on the weekends. I mean, really, he just asked me not to play golf on whatever day I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So today, somehow I got to play golf. Dory was like, I'll be up early. You could play golf. So I made like a very early 5:40 a.m. tee time. You know, my Muni.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid, you know, my $10. But I was golfing, and then I looked at my watch, and I was on the 15th hole, and it was 6:40, and I was like, I'll text Dory and say, I'm going to go get waffle mix, because he wanted to make waffles, And then it took longer than I thought to finish. And then I was like, oh, forget it. It's taking too long. I'm going to drive home, because I didn't want him to be mad that I played golf or annoyed at me. And then I opened the door at 7:38 in the morning, and he was still in his room. And the door was nowhere to be found. And I was like, I'm going to pretend I didn't golf. So I got him up, made waffles.
And he was none the wiser.
And really worked out. It was some good dadding right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Good dadding. He's back in a real dad phase right now.
I mean, for these, 5 days. No, for these 2 days.
Yeah, but like when he's in a dad phase, he's like really in a dad phase.
Yeah, because he knows that I'm the one who has the weaker backbone.
He does know that.
Yeah. That's why he called for dad after you told him to turn off the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got him to stop sort of crying, I said, what do you want to do? He said, watch Mickey.
Yeah, but it was definitely directed to you.
Yeah, no, it was like, hey, she's not going to hear us. All right. Watch Mickey.
Anything else new going on with you?
Well, your water test is next week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
IVF-related stuff.
IVF-related.
I guess I'll do it.
Oh, no. Thanks for the reminder. I scheduled my water test. I'm going to do it with my regular OB. So, hopefully insurance will cover it. We don't have to pay probably $1,000 in cash to California Fertility Partners.
I think it's cash, hard metals, or casino chips they take.
Or traveler's checks.
Not anymore.
Oh. So I called my OB's office and I said, it has to be between day 7 to 10 of your cycle. And she was like, oh, well, your doctor's booked up till June. And as I said to Matt, I was like, what is all my doctors are suddenly like crazy booked.
I think it's just because people are taking care of themselves again,
I guess.
It's like, finally, I could make those frivolous appointments I had put off for 2 years.
I guess. Anyway, so I was like, well, I'm happy to see another doctor in the practice because there's like 8 doctors or something. And then she's like, but I was also like, I need a water test. And she was like, I don't know what that is. What's a water test? She's like, is that a saline sonogram? I was like, I don't know. She referred to it as a water test. And she was like, hold on a second. And she's like, I'm going to go find out. And so I think she then asked my doctor.
I see.
Okay. And then came back and was like, okay, it's a saline sonogram. And your doctor said, if you can come in next Friday at 3:15, like that's usually after she leaves, but she's going to stay for you to do the test. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Like, it's so nice that she would stay till 3:15, possibly 4:00 by the time she finishes.
I don't know what time she starts. She probably starts early.
She
runs
not,
the practice.
Luckily, she's not doing births anymore.
That's true.
So she can make her own hours.
Yeah. But no, I was very appreciative, and it was just like also a reminder of like forming a relationship with your medical providers.
Oh, is this Satori's top tip?
Well, it's just like
forming a relationship with your medical provider.
Well, it's just like if I had been some random person, I think she would have just been like, you have to wait till June. But because she knows me and I was just in there like a few weeks ago and we were talking about how we were going to do this transfer, like she knows the time sensitivity of it.
I see.
And so she said she would do
it. You're more than just a chart, Dory.
I'm more than just a chart to her. I mean, she's intimately acquainted with all of my parts.
What is he yelling about?
Who knows? So I'm going to do that this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are we? Which was also my grandparents' wedding anniversary.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So if my calculations are correct, let's see. That was the first. Okay. Looks like I will probably...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat wicking, blister preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
The light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or for Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout.
Get my period again around May 27th, which would mean we would probably do the transfer sometime the week of the... probably towards the end of the week of the 6th.
Of May?
Of June.
Oh, I was like, whoa.
No.
That's really sneaking up because that's before Friday.
Of June.
Wow. Stay tuned, everybody. It's gonna be wild.
Yeah. So that's the IVF update.
There you go. Still doing the thing that we do this podcast about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody. We're gonna hear from you folks right after these words from one of us. Okay, we are back.
Hello.
Hot dog count update. I had 4 hot dogs this week.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hoffy.
I had none.
Hoffy. That's the name of the hot dog.
Hoffy?
Hoffy. Supposedly a Hollywood institution. I found them in the grocer section of my local Smart and Final. They said natural casing on it. Sadly, all beef.
Mm.
I was like, maybe these will taste okay.
How they taste?
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
But well, I did get, I finally got some French's yellow mustard.
Oh, good.
that's the key to any sort of hot dog situation.
That is the key.
As far as I'm concerned, I know a lot of people who listen to our show like their dogs like wrapped in bacon or something and like smother them in Chicago toppings. But I'm a simple man. Mushrooms are not what I was going to say, but that's the word that came out.
Okay.
I was going to say mustard.
Oh.
And occasionally some chopped onions.
Uh-huh.
Sure. I'm good to go.
Okay.
You know, like that little thing you like twist at the at Dodger Stadium, you know, the little you twist it and onions, chopped onions come out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That thing. Okay.
Okay. Well, should we hear from some listeners?
Might as well.
All right. So last week we heard from a listener who sent out the corneal ectopic pregnancy signal. Do you recall this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So we heard from Hillary, who is in Atlantic, Canada. And says, this is my third time writing in, I believe. I'm just emailing to respond to the corneal ectopic pregnancy signal. This happened to me in 2018 with our first pregnancy and ultimately led to why we needed to do IVF. We got pregnant unexpectedly and had an ultrasound booked to date that pregnancy. We thought we were about 8 to 10 weeks along. But the day before, I started to get severe pains in my abdomen and uterus area. I didn't think much of it until the next day when there was some bleeding. We went in for the ultrasound, and it turns out that the pregnancy was in what the caller termed the armpit of the uterus. I was supposed to get a laparoscopic surgery, but they ended up having to open me up because, as the OB said to my partner when I was in recovery, it was really bad in there. I ended up having a small part of the uterus removed because of where implantation occurred, as well as the fallopian tube and ovary of the same side. 8 weeks later, I was healed up and we had our follow-up appointment. The OB said we could try again in so many months, and this is what we did, but to no avail after months and months of trying. So we started the process of being referred to the fertility clinic. My remaining tube was blocked. All that being said, I'm parked in my car looking at my almost six-month-old science baby, Simon. Because I essentially had a similar surgery to a C-section, I knew going into IVF that I would not give birth vaginally. I was totally okay with that, honestly. Back in November, when he was born, the surgery was fine. There was some scar tissue that they had to deal with, but otherwise it was pretty smooth. Throughout the pregnancy, I was followed fairly closely for my age, gestational diabetes, the fact that I had an ectopic pregnancy and part of my uterus had been removed, and having done IVF. But in the end, it was a positive experience with the pregnancy appointments and C-section surgery, including a picture of our little, who my best friend has named Sci-Fi the Science Guy. That's pretty funny. And our beautiful dog. Also, we made chili cheese dogs last week, so I think I've had about 2 hot dogs so far this year. Oh, and we are planning a trip to Salem, Massachusetts this October with my partner's extended family to do
spooky
the Halloween touristy thing. All the best, Hillary.
It's the best time of the year to be in Salem.
You know what? Thank you, Hillary, for writing in about that and sharing your story. And congratulations. Your child and your dog were very cute. This like randomly reminds me of something. Maybe I saw it on Instagram.
Maybe it was TikTok.
Maybe, but you know how like you're always saying you want to go to London around Christmas time because it's like so Christmassy?
Yeah.
There was a picture of Quebec at Christmas time. And it looked extremely Christmassy.
Yeah, I could see that. Quebec City, as far as like North American cities go with architecture, it's pretty old.
And looked very charming. And I was like, I need to tell Matt about this.
Was it Montreal?
I think it was Quebec City.
Interesting.
So perhaps we could put that on our list of potential Christmassy places.
Our bucket list?
Our Christmassy places around the world to visit list.
I'm trying to think of it. Have I been in London in the snow even?
It doesn't snow a ton in London.
I mean, it did around Ebenezer Scrooge.
Okay.
So, you know.
I'm just saying, like, it's not known as, like, the snowiest. It snows there, for sure, but it's not, like, super snowy.
We were in London doing the Nerdist BBC America show. We're taping some stuff there. And there was, like, this producer, this local producer, who was, like, American, but annoyed the shit out of me.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I hate this guy. This guy's the worst. He's like, he's got every affectation you've ever seen in your life on annoying producer guys. And then he was trying to get us all to go to a jazz club.
What?
And I was like, it's like the only person I would go see at a jazz club right now is John Scofield. So if John Scofield's playing guitar at this jazz club in London, I'll go. And he literally was performing that night.
No.
I swear to God. And I still didn't go.
Wow. You're a jerk.
I think it was sold out. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's move on to this email from Becky. Good morning, Dory and Matt. I'm finally sitting down to write you an email because I actually do have a question / new signal that I believe has not been brought up before. Some background. I have a 3-year-old IVF baby who happens to have a speech delay and is now in free public school pre-K and on an IEP that has helped tremendously. But he is not the subject of my question, as frustrating as living with a speech delayed toddler is. I'm 20 weeks pregnant, 21 weeks, when you'll probably read this, with a spontaneous pregnancy. Sorry, our doctor made us try again for a year before she'd let us go back to IVF after our son was born. And goddamn, this time it worked. Facepalm. We also did not have any embryos left or insurance coverage left. Our 3-year-old had been our last shot. Anyway, last week, after getting back from a family trip to Disney World, which is truly a marathon with a toddler, we had our anatomy scan. We already knew the fetus is chromosomally a boy thanks to this new test they offer that checked chromosomes for trisomies and assigned sex instead of the 2-part blood test at the end of the first trimester. Did I lose Matt yet? So this anatomy scan was more focused on checking off all the boxes the ultrasound tech needed rather than checking out our baby's private parts. I noticed, as did the ultrasound tech, that one of his feet looked to be in a weird position. She, the tech, did not say anything at the time, but at the end of the session, after saying we'll have to come back to get the rest of the shots because he was being very uncooperative, just like his brother, she mentioned one of his feet is twisted, commonly known as club foot, but the doctor would come in to confirm. The doctor did, in fact, come in and note that his right foot is twisted in. However, it was mild, and she reassured us that there are very effective treatments to correct the congenital defect starting a week after birth, and that the prognosis was almost certain that he will walk and live an entirely normal life. We met with a genetic counselor that afternoon, and she explained the condition and treatments to us, possible causes, etc. Felt a lot like when we started IVF treatments. But she also noted the doctor had not referred us to the orthopedic pediatrician yet. I guess the doctor forgot to tell us that the club foot was not 100% confirmed. And when I go back for a follow-up scan this week, they will focus on whether it is in fact club foot or whether he was just in an odd position that morning. But this will also determine if I need to get an amniocentesis. Yay. So my question / signal is, has anyone recently had a child that has had to be treated for club foot? Any anecdotes I've heard so far have taken place back in the 80s or prior, and medicine has advanced significantly since then. No one in our immediate families has had it, nor any of our parents have our friends / parent friends. So any listeners who have experience as a parent of a child going through the treatment would provide valuable insight. Thanks for everything. I love listening to you guys every Monday as I drive to my job as a teacher, and I've been following you guys since Dory appeared on the Nerdist podcast. My husband and I started our own IVF journey about 6 months after you did. And that is from Becky in 2,265 square feet in central Massachusetts, just down the road from Davis Farmland, for any natives like y'all. I don't know what Davis Farmland is.
Nor do I. Must be a central Mass secret.
Yeah.
Keeping from our eastern Mass people.
With my husband, our 3-year-old IVF toddler, my mother and father, but sadly no pets, RIP to our cat Felix. Probably too many hot dogs for having been pregnant for all of 2022 so far, but they've all burnt my tongue, so they've been fresh and very hot. I had a foot-long hot dog from Casey's on Main Street in Magic Kingdom last week, and it was just about the best thing ever.
Glad you enjoyed your Disney trip. This clubfoot ultrasound situation, highly suspicious to me.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, I know ultrasound tech. I've seen it in action.
Uh-huh.
You can't see shit in there.
Fair.
Whatever position the foot in doesn't, I mean, I don't know. Look, obviously, of course, there's a chance. But.
You're just saying.
I would say, let's see what happens next week. Let's see
on the next ultrasound.
But in the meantime, of course, let us open it up to anyone who's had that treated. As far as I know. And this, again, might be old brain medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it like a break it and reset it kind of a thing?
I have no idea.
I feel like that's what they do. If I'm, you know, or did in the olden times.
Maybe.
Was I club footed and I forgotten? No, I don't think so. I'm sure I would have
heard. I don't know.
I'm sure I would have heard. All right, but that's, yeah. I remember Henry's ultrasounds. His feet were like some of the only things you could really see clearly.
Yeah.
Then you could see that
we could also always see that he was sucking his thumb.
Yeah, which he is probably literally still doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
I hear him out there. Do you think he's fishing around to try to get on the podcast again?
Probably.
Let's see. Let me see the breakdown here. We have 1, 2, a voicemail, 4, 5, 6, text. Okay. Let's do, I think we can do 2 more.
Okay. Do you want to read the next one?
For this segment here? This is from Anonymous. I've written into the podcast before, but this time around, I asked to remain anonymous. This past week, a close friend, I wish this was someone writing in. I wish it was the guy's wife from last week who gave all the details, but wanted to be anonymous.
Yeah.
I wish this was them writing in. This past week, a close friend of mine shared that she and her partner are struggling with infertility. What can I do to be a supportive friend to this couple? I suggested the podcast, citing the community that exists out there, that they're not alone. But all in all, this is a new conversation for me. I'm not sure what I can do to be a good friend, especially being several states away. What would you have liked for your friends to do before having Henry? What would have been helpful to hear? That's it for now. Rooting for y'all, wishing Henry and Harriet, what? Henry and Doria, happy birthday. That's anonymous. 1 to 2 Sonic Dogs in 2022. Interesting that you not sure about that.
I mean, I think you can just say, like, I'm here for you anytime you want to talk. And, like, just, I always like the periodic, like, just thinking of you, just checking in, no need to respond kind of text.
Yeah.
I think the least supportive thing you can do is just like constantly ask for updates.
How would you go about that? Like, what's an example of someone asking for an update? Do they literally just go, hey, any updates on IVF?
I mean, kind of.
Okay.
Like, what's the status? Or, you know, just like, I think I'm saying, like, it's especially annoying if it's someone who, like, kind of only asks you for updates. You know what I mean? Like, they just sort of, like, nosily want to know what's going on.
Interesting, yeah.
So I think, like, that's the other thing. Like, I would still talk to them about other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't have, like, infertility be the focus of, like, every conversation.
Right.
So... Yeah, and also, you know, I think it's always nice to send, if you want to. You
so
can
like, cite an example text message you would send to someone going through IVF if you weren't you who had already gone through it.
Just like have they just done a retrieval or is it just sort of like a random? I'm just like checking in.
I think I'm just trying to tell this person exactly what to say in their opening volley.
Oh, I think I would just say, you know, it sounds like what you're going through is really hard. I'm here if you ever want to talk about it.
I'm also here if you don't.
Yeah. I'm also here if you want to just like
so
talk about dumb TV shows or something. You know what I mean?
Interesting. TV is always dumb, but books aren't. I get it.
Or dumb books.
Yeah. Sure.
What? Okay. I hope that helps. If other people have thoughts, please share.
And if you'd like to figure out how to count your hot dogs, let me know.
Yeah. Okay. One more email before we take a break. This is from Brittany. Mm-hmm. Dory and Matt, you and the community you've created have offered some great advice over the years for me. Now, I am in the toughest spot I've ever been in. My 6-month-old was diagnosed with infant botulism, and we will be in the hospital with her for a few weeks. Thankfully, we were able to get her the treatment quickly, and she is slowly improving. Now it looks like my first Mother's Day will be spent in the hospital with her. My dream of a picnic with champagne and a charcuterie board while she rolls around and laughs at her dog and dad are dashed. Do you or the listeners have any tips on how we can celebrate Mother's Day while being in the hospital? Should I just let this dream go? I feel selfish, even feeling disappointed about it, but nevertheless, here we are. Also, why did everyone warn me about botulism and honey, but no one said it also lives in the dirt, which is how many babies get it? Thanks, Brittany. Still no hot dogs in 2022, despite all the crappy hospital food I've had to endure.
I feel like the hospital, they grill the buns nice, if I remember correctly, from my hospital hot dogs. Okay. Well, I suppose she's probably asking you, honey, as a mom who probably has a vivid memory of her first Mother's Day.
No.
Exactly. Well, it was very close to...
It was very close to when Henry was born.
Yeah.
I think I was just still in the fog of...
I remember. I think your mother was here.
Yeah. That sounds right,
maybe? Or one of our mothers was
here. One of our mothers was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, 3 weeks out from Henry being born. I was probably still not even, really feeling... I was probably physically feeling not great and still sort of out of it.
Right.
So I don't really have memories of my first Mother's Day, actually.
Do you have memories of your second Mother's Day, which would bring us into 2020, May of 2020. What'd you do for that fun
deep
Mother's Day?
Pandemic Mother's Day.
I'm just checking.
I mean, I feel like you and Henry have always gotten me flowers, which is always very appreciated.
Yeah.
I feel like there was an attempt at a breakfast in bed situation.
I think that was 2021.
Okay. Yes, because Henry, didn't you enlist Henry?
Henry spilled all the cereal on you or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something happened like that.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be much better at being a waiter this year.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, but I... last year, didn't I make us go on a little hike in Franklin Canyon in the afternoon?
I don't know. I don't know when that was.
I think I did.
Okay.
But yeah,
I was thinking about us going to Descanso this year, but I was like, I think it'll be too busy.
We could go early.
TBD. On what our Mother's Day has in store for us. Back to the botulism, baby.
So, Brittany, well, first of all, I'm very sorry that you're going to be spending Mother's Day in the hospital. That is really a bummer. I think that said, though, your baby does not know that it's Mother's Day, and she certainly will not know that it's not Mother's Day should you choose to later have a picnic with champagne and a charcuterie board while she rolls around and laughs at her dog and dad.
Yes.
So I think this can be, you can have that celebration when she gets out of the hospital.
And it can be a post-Mother's Day, post-botulism celebration.
Yeah.
And make sure that blanket is large as to not have her eat any dirt.
Good call.
Also that the Mother's Day you describe has not existed for any human being in the history of the world. I mean, I don't know where you're getting this.
Well, image, I'll tell you,
but
I'll tell you,
fascinating.
I'll tell you social media, because I actually write about this in my book, which you have not read, that before I had a baby, I had all these fantasies of these sumptuous picnics that I would have with my baby. And with and I would be in some
beautiful dress. Spring dress.
Yeah, exactly. And my baby would just be cooing on the blanket, and we'd have, a spread or whatever. And the reality of it was,
does that exist?
It even doesn't. On Instagram? I don't think it exists. And It's just like, and I think it creates an unrealistic expectation.
Now I'm remembering the people posing for photos at Franklin Canyon last year who seemed to be in like a living hell in very nice clothing for some sort of Instagram post about Mother's Day. Do you remember that?
No.
I do.
Oh, wait, were they by the turtle pond?
Yeah, they parked their Range Rover
up close. Yes. I do remember
that. And they all like got out in their varying spring colors.
Yes, I do remember that now.
Just there to take a photo.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that you can get a little bit of time. Just, I don't know if you'll be able to just get a little bit of time by yourself on Mother's Day. I know with your baby in the hospital, that's probably pretty hard, but
just do a post Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And guess what? The brunch lines are going to be shorter.
That is true.
So that said, we will be right back.
Okay.
We nailed that one.
We did.
I don't know. Maybe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, everybody. We're back, joined by another special guest.
Why that one's so blue?
Because that is a separate recording. That's the previous segment we did before this break.
Hi.
Henry, can you say, welcome back, everybody?
Welcome back.
Nice. Do you have anything you'd like to share with anybody?
Well, I can test it.
Why can't you touch Mama's computer that she does use this for podcasting? Probably because she needs it to be in a certain order. Do you want to sing into the microphone so you can hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Daddy, daddy, tatty.
Wow.
Tatty, tatty, tatty.
That's a good song. Henry, what did you do yesterday with Dito when we were together and Mama was out? Do you remember? Where did we go? What store did we go to in the morning?
The golf.
Yeah? What did you do at the golf store? Did you putt?
Yeah.
How many balls did you hit?
A couple.
Yeah. It's probably like, I think it's probably more like 20. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
14.
Okay, we'll call it 14 then. You hit 14 balls towards the flag. And then you watched Dita give them a bunch of golf clubs. Remember, we brought them all in.
Why can't see a blue anymore?
Would you like to see the blue?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's zoom out on the timeline. There you go. Look at that. Exciting, isn't it?
Now turn the blue to gray.
Well, I'd have to mute this channel, which I can't do right now because we're recording.
Bud, what else do you want to tell everyone?
No.
Do you want to talk about your new favorite show?
And the Eternal
Mickey's
gray
Racers?
Now.
You want to talk about Mickey Racers?
Yeah, I want to gray.
You want me to just turn the timeline gray? You want me to just...
We can't do that, bud.
Why?
We're not done recording.
We can do it after. I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you want to talk about Mickey Racers? Do you like Mickey Racers now?
Yeah.
Do you like it more than Funhouse?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a really big turnaround.
What about Clubhouse?
Nope.
Did you? Oh, you know, we told everybody about us going and getting pizza last night. Did you like that? Did you like going to the restaurant?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part? Do you remember how much pizza you ate?
You ate so much.
You did. You ate so much of the red pizza. You thought it was the best thing ever. Oh, where's he going now, everybody?
What are those things?
Oh, that's from Dita's lunch snack. Would you like a breakfast biscuit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you have this one or this one?
You can have this one. Here, I'll give you one. Ready? Everyone loves hearing this on a podcast. All right. Thanks for coming on our show. Let me give you a little goodbye present. There you go. Thanks for coming. Step over the cables. You're so excited about the Belveeta blueberry breakfast biscuit.
All right, bud. Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. This is a lot of jumping.
Why don't you go outside and jump on the jumparoo?
All right, back to the regular show. Thanks for visiting us, Henry. We'll see you again next week.
All right.
What a riveting interview.
Wow, that was really next level.
You hit 14 golf balls and ate so much pizza.
So much. Okay.
Now, back to what we were doing, which is, yes, we're going to answer some questions. I think there's a voicemail coming.
We do have a voicemail.
Which I can't actually get to right now. Oh, now I can. Here we go.
Okay.
When you're ready.
All right. I'm ready.
Hi, this is Jen. I had to pause the pod to call in about keeping toddlers in bed, and I am not calling with any solutions, calling in solidarity. I have almost 7-year-old science baby twins, and when they were about 3 years old, they started climbing out of their cribs, so we put them in toddler beds, which they still didn't stay in. So what we had to do is turn around the lock on their bedroom door, so we could lock them in. Sounds awful, but it was the only way that they would stay in their room in their beds. And the child locks did not work. My daughter would just rip them off. So eventually they stay in their beds. There was really no secret to it, just time. And I will say last night I went up to, they're now in regular beds, but last night I went up to bed and they were both sleeping in my bed. So again, just calling in solidarity. It does get better. But also you never know, you might find them somewhere else down the road. So that is my only advice, is just stick it out and ride the wave. Thanks. Oh, hot dogs. How many hot dogs have I had this year? I would probably say about 4 so far this year.
Nice.
And that's it. Thank you.
Now, does she mean you might find your toddlers down the road? Like they've left the house and decided to walk down the road?
No. I think she meant down the road, like of their lives.
Yeah, or in the future. Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say what Henry will do once he's getting out of that crib.
It's really hard to say.
Because I see a world where he tries to make himself breakfast and burns the house down.
Totally.
Or I teach him how to use the television properly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see him like going and sitting and watching Mickey.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to figure out how to get that to be a very, like, 3-button situation.
Yeah, I also don't think it's something that we need to do, like, right now.
I know, but I'm just preparing us for the future.
I know.
Down the road.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. We got a text that asked if we ended up inviting Henry's school friends to his birthday party.
Oh, did we ever?
And the answer is yes, we did.
I would argue that was almost all of his friends.
Yeah, it was most of
his... There was like three non-school invitees.
Yeah. But yeah, it was mostly his school friends.
Four, if you count Rye.
Right. Okay. Matt, do you want to read this next email from Stephanie?
Yep. Fell a few episodes behind with the pod, so I only just finished 367 and had to email to let Matt know. Stephanie Toronto is, in fact, my real name. That's very funny. Or at least it was until I got married earlier this year and took my husband's name. How dare you? 35 years of being asked, are you Canadian? After introducing myself, will definitely prompt one to strongly consider a name change. It's actually an Italian name. Oh, that makes sense. Toronto, Tarantino, etc. Currently 37 weeks pregnant with our first. Surprise, my husband Mike and I got 4 months before our wedding. Oh dear. That means no drinking at the wedding. After being told that medical intervention would be necessary for our fertility, given my PCOS diagnosis a few years ago, thankfully, my dress still fit. We did learn I had gestational diabetes at 28 weeks. Often goes hand in hand with PCOS at my age, but have had an overall healthy pregnancy that we feel so, so lucky to be able to have. I was a Forever 35 fan. And when I got my PCOS diagnosis, I decided to start Excellent to learn more about the journey we were about to embark on and quickly played catch up with the back episodes. I often listen to the episodes while I'm cooking, which once led to this hilarious exchange with my husband, Nerdist and Trek fan. Hey, do you know who Matt Myra is? Mike, of course I do. And how do you know who Matt Myra is? Guys, we can all know who Matt Myra is. He's very multi-talented. Just writing to let you know that my name is, in fact, real. I really appreciate both of you creating the pod, sharing your family, and helping us with our fertility journey, and soon, parenthood. You're welcome, Stephanie Toronto. Man, that's great. Now, Genevieve, boo. Stephanie Toronto is such a perfect toast name. It really is.
So perfect. All right. We have one last text.
Okay.
Matt, I totally this hockey season did the sneaky wearing the minor league farm team to an NHL game. Huh. I was at a Penguins versus New Jersey game in Pittsburgh and wore a Utica Comets, New Jersey's AHL team baseball cap. This was because I need a new New Jersey sweater, so I get the wearing the minor league team to avoid strife. I've also done the reverse of wearing a shirt for the NHL team to an AHL game.
Oh, I like it. I also like your proper use of the term sweater. That is what we call the hockey jersey. It's a sweater.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I somehow, when I was looking at TikTok last night, and you know, the algorithm just
based on you.
Yeah, just gives you stuff. And they showed me a TikTok from an account of hockey cheerleaders.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, I'd never seen... Because like we had hockey cheerleaders like at my high school, but they just stood like in the stands and like waved some pom-poms.
Yeah, you're talking about these, the ones on skates?
They were on skates, like on ice, like doing cheer routines. And I was like, whoa. A, yes, the algorithm got me because this is something I'm interested in. B, wow, this is hard.
I mean, yeah, it's like that. You go to a Kings game between periods. It's like the Ice Capades are in town.
It was crazy. Anyway, I've still never been to a professional hockey game.
That's wild. They're the best kind of professional sporting event, if you ask me.
I mean, I've like wanted to go for years.
And it's nice and cold in there.
And like, I guess, I don't know, I guess having a baby and then pandemic and like whatever, but I would like to go. I
wanted to go for those three specific years.
Yeah. Maybe next winter I can make that happen. All right. Well, just a reminder before we wrap up that you can support us on Patreon. Get up to 2 bonus episodes a month. That is at patreon.com/excellentadventure. We are always very grateful to our Patreon supporters. And if you support us at the $5 level or above, you get your name read on the podcast each month and you get the back catalog of the Patreon episodes if you support us there. But Patreon, we don't have the names for May yet because we're recording this on May 1st.
May Uno.
And Patreon takes a couple days to like update.
May Uno.
So.
It sounds like Menudo.
May it Uno. Does.
Oh, there are no names. You just said that out loud.
I just said that out loud. Yeah.
And
there's no names.
No names. Turns out no names.
Turns out no names.
Head over to patreon.com/excellentadventure and support us there.
I just read
I'll say
all this.
It again. Better.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it's a
sure
more pleading. Please join the Patreon. Currently, my only source of income is podcasting.
This is true.
So, you know, be a friend. All right.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.